Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope that you and your family and your friends are staying healthy physically as well as mentally. We are happy to have you here with us today. And kids, the sun did come up today. Like, I'm not sure what the day is going to bring, but the sun did rise. And I do think we were all kind of wondering if on this Wednesday that was going to happen. Let's all take a minute and thank God that at least the sun came up today, right? Of course, the United States presidential election took place yesterday, and we all got the opportunity in this great country to vote, well, for either the idiot or for the imbecile. And what is always truly amazing for me to watch, at least for me as an independent voter, is just watching each side clinging to their person. Because as an independent, I kind of look at both sides and I say, well, I like this about you, but I think you're stupid on this. And I look at this side and I say, well, I like this about you, but I think you're stupid on that. What's funny to me is to watch both sides clinging to their moron like he is the most amazing candidate in the history of politics, despite the fact that if given the choice, none of us would pick either one of these two windbags. I mean, think about this. If we just lined up the best and brightest people in this country, the people who could come up with the best plans for the progression of the country, the people who could come up with the best plans for how to feed people, how to house people, how to keep people working, how to keep people healthy, how to keep people educated. The idiot and the imbecile, they're probably not cracking the top 5, maybe even 10 million, let alone the top 2. But over the past month and over the past year, everyone is acting like these two morons are each the only possible hope for our country. I'm telling you right now, if the idiot gets in, this country is over. You had better vote for the imbecile so that he can lead us to new heights of stupidity, I guess. I don't know. You know, I have actually had people, friends, close acquaintances, friends I know, sometimes even family members, who have posted things on social media that say things like this. If you vote for this person, then we're no longer friends. Feel free to defriend me, because if you vote for that, there's no way we can be friends anymore. Really? Glad to see you're doing so well emotionally and mentally. You know, I keep saying it on the podcast like every week. I say, hope you're doing well physically as well as mentally, because in this weird time, kind of seems like the mental side is what is kind of getting to so many people. And when you're saying things like that, I mean, we're friends. We work together. We broke bread together. Like, you have hung out with me and my family. We can't be friends anymore if I vote one way over the way you think is best. So the election is now over. The votes have been cast. Can we go back to being friends now? Or is that done? Like, are we just cut off? Is our relationship just now over? It's not a good sign, is it? I'm genuinely concerned because I'm seeing a lot of posts like that. That is not the thinking of a rational person. Here's the thing. Because, you know, as usual, we're going to relate this back to sports. I think going forward, no matter who wins this and whatever happens, you kind of have to look at this through the lens of sports. Here's the thing. When you have a team, you have a coaching staff, maybe even just fans coming together, you put all those differences aside and you say, hey, we're all on the same team, right? You say, I realize you might come from a different background than I do, different race, different religion, different whatever. But we are on the same team. We're going to have to figure out ways to get along. Biggest thing I think I take from this election process, no matter who wins, no matter if the person you wanted to win or the person they wanted to win, whatever, we have got to figure out a way to get along, because at the end of the day, we are all on the same team, right? I mean, we all do still live in the same country. And I think at the end of the day, we do have to kind of look at this and say, hey, you know what? No matter who gets elected, no matter who gets in, let's just do this. Let's just be nice to each other. Let's just follow the old golden rule, treat each other as you'd want to be treated. And I think a lot of this stuff will kind of take care of itself. Hopefully, your candidate won. Whether you voted for the idiot or the imbecile, hopefully you got your way and you're feeling good. But if you didn't, just try this. Just try being nice to the person next to you. Try being nice to your neighbor, because they're still going to be there after this is all finished. Got to make sure we're getting along well with each other. We are all on the same team. Make sure we are treating people the way we want to be treated. I do think at the end of the day, we all want the same things in life. We want what's best for our generation. We want what's best for our future generations. You know, I'm actually going to go out on a limb today and say, no matter who got elected, just being nice to each other, probably going to be the best remedy for what is going on in our world today. After that, I mean, good luck with the idiot or the imbecile. Hopefully, we can just keep that person in a quiet room with a lot of medication and keep their harmful stupidity to a minimum. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us how sick you are of politics and how happy you are that we are now done for 4 more years. At least you're not going to be getting all the political calls and stuff on your phone anymore. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are @dailydosports. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you want to talk politics. Maybe you just don't have anyone to talk sports with. Drop us a line. We would love to hear what it is you have to say. Also, be sure that you stop by dailydosports.wordpress.com. If you're not sure where to find the podcast or the YouTube video, or maybe you're just looking for that Daily Dose gear, we've got links to everything at dailydosports.wordpress.com. You can find it all over there. And remember, we are now placing a video portion of the podcast over on YouTube. Make sure that you head over there and you subscribe to the Daily Dose. Thanks to everyone that's going over there and watching the videos. We do appreciate that. We're just putting up a small snippet of the show, of what the show is about that week. Or you just want to check out what things are looking like here in the Daily Dose studio. You can see we got a new little prop over here on the Daily Dose desk here. So make sure that you go check out the YouTube videos and like a few of those while you're over there. Hey, and as long as you're doing that online shopping, and we're all doing it because nobody really wants to go out right now, make sure you stop by tpublic.com, pick up some Daily Dose gear. TeePublic is doing a ton of sales every single week. We've got a lot of items over there you can get, and we know that holiday season is creeping up on us. If you want a Daily Dose hoodie, you want a Daily Dose t-shirt, a sweatshirt, got a number of items over there. Plus, maybe you just want a Daily Dose social distancing mask that gives you a big smile everywhere you go. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up that Daily Dose gear. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be joined by a friend of the show to discuss the end of the Major League Baseball season. And we're actually going to hand out a few awards from that MLB season. If you heard the last time that Daily Dose Junior I Team member Young Jimmy stopped by, we talked about a number of things when he was here last. He is actually going to stop by again, and we're going to see where the day takes us. I told him he can have control of the show briefly. Gonna let him ask me a few questions. But before we get to Young Jimmy, let's talk about a few things coming out in the world of sports today. And let's start off in college football, where the Clemson Tigers are still holding on to that number one spot in the AP college football poll, but the Alabama Crimson Tide, they're closing that gap, and they're looking stronger every week. Now, Clemson received 33 first place votes on Sunday after they had gotten 52 the previous week. Now, that is primarily due to the fact that they just barely scraped by Boston College on Saturday with superstar quarterback Trevor Lawrence out in COVID protocol. So Clemson now has just a 2-point lead in the polls over number 2 Alabama. And Clemson is now heading into a huge ACC matchup at 4th-ranked Notre Dame this week. And we already know Trevor Lawrence will be out for that game too. Here's the question. Is Clemson in trouble? Can Notre Dame actually beat Clemson? Yeah, it's really possible. Notre Dame can win this game. But let's slow down on Clemson being in trouble. Because, I mean, let's say Clemson loses. They're almost for sure going to get a rematch with the Irish in the ACC championship game. they could easily still win out and make the college football playoff. So I don't think Clemson is in any trouble just yet. I do actually want to see, though, how does Clemson play this week in a full week where they already know Trevor Lawrence is out? The team has to rally around the backup. Can Clemson put things together and maybe have a little bit better of a showing against Notre Dame than they did against Boston College? Finishing out that college football top five, Alabama at number two crushed Mississippi State 41-0. The first time, by the way, Mississippi State head coach Mike Leach has ever been shut out. Hey, Alabama is starting to look a little bit scary. Ohio State is number three, Notre Dame is number four, and Georgia is number five. Something to keep in mind. Number one Clemson now goes to number four Notre Dame on Saturday. Game is in South Bend. And number five Georgia will face number eight Florida on Saturday in Jacksonville in the cocktail party that no one wants to call the cocktail party anymore. We could see some big shakeups this weekend. Going to be an interesting weekend in college football. You know, we didn't actually know if we were going to get this far. But did you realize the college football bowl and playoff schedule were released last week? A few awful games were dropped, not enough, but we still have 35 bowl games on the schedule. Bowl season is scheduled to open on December 19th with the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas. Whatever that is, no idea. Bowl season will then finish up with the College Football National Championship game on Monday, January 11th. But here is what will be interesting to watch in that college football playoff. Can the Big 12, the Big 10, or the Pac-12 make it into the playoff? Okay, first off, I have zero faith in the Pac-12. They're finally going to start playing games this weekend, but they're only going to play a six-game schedule. And they have very little room for rescheduling games if needed. So I don't think the Pac-12 has a prayer of getting into the college football playoff. The Big 12 is also in trouble. They had Oklahoma State at number six, but the Cowboys got knocked off this last weekend by Texas. Big 12 preseason favorites Oklahoma, they already have two losses to Kansas State and Iowa State. Texas already has two losses to Oklahoma and Texas Christian. So it's not looking good for the Big 12 either. Okay, well, what about the Big 10? Ohio State has the inside track, right? Well, here's the problem. The Big 10 started their season so late, they have now backed themselves into a bit of a corner because the Big 10 installed a 21-day COVID policy to screen for heart-related conditions in anyone who tested positive, even though we now know that those myocarditis fears are proving to be largely unfounded. So in an 8-week regular season, with no room for schedule changes or postponements, any player or coach who tests positive is forced to miss 3 weeks. That's almost half the season. The Big Ten had better go get Ohio State in a bubble because Wisconsin is already sitting out their 3 weeks. Michigan took a huge loss on Saturday to Michigan State. I guess Indiana's in there, but I mean, come on, they're Indiana. So the Ohio State Buckeyes are most likely that league's only chance for the playoff. And that's too bad. Because if for some reason someone on that team gets it, they're not going to go anywhere. And it's not based on what the kids have done on the field. Ohio State absolutely looks like they could be a top four team. Unfortunately for them, they could end up missing the playoff because of what the idiot adults have done in a boardroom. That's never a good sign because adults tend to screw things up for kids most all of the time. There's a really good chance the adults have screwed things up for the kids in the Big Ten this year. Let's shift over to the NFL where we are seeing a trend throughout the entire league. And you know, I rarely hand out sports betting advice here on the Dose, but I'm about to right now. Here is some shocking news for you. You're going to be stunned. The teams with the good quarterbacks are winning, and the teams without are losing. I know, pretty shocking, right? That's not exactly earth-shattering news, but I mean, think about it this year. The Buffalo Bills, well, they have somewhat of a quarterback. The Miami Dolphins might have a quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. They are battling for the top of the AFC East. The New England Patriots do not have a quarterback. In the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers are at least getting okay play out of Ben Roethlisberger. At least he's not turning the ball over they're undefeated. The Baltimore Ravens are getting inconsistent play from Lamar Jackson, so they're two games back. Tennessee, Indianapolis, Kansas City, they're getting at least decent quarterback play. The other teams in those divisions are chasing them. We move over to the NFC. The NFC East is horrible, and big surprise, most of the quarterback play in that division is horrible. The Green Bay Packers are tied with the Chicago Bears in the NFC North, but I'm really starting to lose faith in the Bears. Why? Because their quarterback play from Nick Foles is so bad, it's making Bears fans want Mitchell Trubisky back. That's pretty bad. The Saints, the Buccaneers, they're atop the NFC South, and they're both getting pretty good quarterback play from Drew Brees and Tom Brady. And of course, the Seattle Seahawks are leading the NFC West because Russell Wilson is amazing. And also because the Los Angeles Rams continue to stumble because Jared Goff is undependable. And so is Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. We talk about it all the time here on the Dose. The running back position has now been devalued. Wide receivers are everywhere. Everyone has a good wide receiver. Offensive lines are tough to come by. So here's what we're seeing in the NFL. Which teams have quarterbacks that can shine even if maybe they don't have a great offensive line in front of them? Which quarterbacks are smart enough to overcome that maybe average, below average offensive line? Because those are the teams that are finding ways to get wins every week. Right now, you can pretty much just pick games based on which teams are getting the better quarterback play. Who is taking care of the ball? Who is converting third downs? Who is making plays when they need to? Hey, if you just place bets that way, you're probably going to win some money. I'm not sure I have ever seen quarterbacks be so valuable in the National Football League. I don't know. You might want to keep that in mind as we are reaching the midway point of the season. Quarterback play just looks insanely important. Okay, coming back, the Major League Baseball season is now complete. When we come back, we're going to talk a little about what we saw in a shortened season that did actually prove to be pretty exciting, but you just know, I am not about to talk MLB by myself. Oh no, I am bringing in a ringer to do the heavy lifting for me. We'll be recapping the 2020 MLB season with our residential baseball expert when we get back. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, a member of the Daily Dose Junior I Team, Young Jimmy, is a young guy that came into the Dose a few weeks ago, and he did such a good job. We wanted to have him back and kind of recap the baseball season that is now complete. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us again here on the Dose. We are happy to have you here.
Thank you very much for the invite back. I'm proud to be here.
Jimmy, first off, for those who don't know, maybe just kind of a recap to some people, for those who may have forgotten or whatever, you went to high school in the Dallas area in Texas. You played high school baseball down there against some big-time Texas talent. You are now attending the University of Colorado at Boulder, and you're up there studying journalism.
Yep.
So how is school going so far?
School's going good. You know, grades are up. Haven't been able to go out too much. Wildfires keep me in exercise-wise.
Yeah.
So, coronavirus is obviously out there, a big deterrent of going outside. But other than that, school's great. I'm loving it up there.
You're doing well in your classes? Classes are going good?
Yes, Mom. Classes are going great.
All right, good. You know, a week or so ago, we had a cold front come through Colorado, and we had a few days where the highs were 12, 14, yeah. Something like that. That's Fahrenheit, folks. That's not Celsius. That's Fahrenheit. That was the high.
Yeah.
How did you do in that cold? Are you adjusting to the cold weather at all? Well, I know you're coming from Texas. That's a little bit of a jump for you.
Well, the temperature being lower than my age is definitely new to me. So I would try to wear the least amount of clothes possible. I did not want to look like the guy out there wearing 40 different jackets. So I wore just maybe a t-shirt, sweatshirt, and a flannel and did my best.
To try to look low-key, not look, freezing.
Yes. Try to look as warm as possible.
Are you getting any grief from those around you? Like if you go out with the big heavy coat, are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
Are you really?
I wore the jacket once, and I think it's just me being from Texas. It's not, I see the guys wearing the jacket.
Sure.
But it's definitely just me being from Texas. Oh, dude, what are you, a wuss, dude?
Yeah. I could totally see that. I could see that. Because here in Colorado, people are crazy.
Oh,
like
sure.
Everyone's out there shoveling snow in shorts and like a jacket.
Yeah.
So I understand. I wondered how that was going. You know, when we saw that cold snap come through, I thought of you. I was like, I wonder if he's just up there sitting on the heater vent, just huddled over it for warmth. but I'm glad you're starting to adjust. Now, young Jimmy came on a few weeks ago, and he helped us preview the Major League Baseball playoffs. When I say he helped us, I mean he did most of the heavy lifting. Jimmy, you did pretty well. You picked the Miami Marlins to surprise people, which I think they did. You picked the Los Angeles Dodgers to win the World Series, which they did. You picked the Cleveland Indians to face the Dodgers in the World Series. And Jimmy, the lesson here is that you can't get everything right all the time.
Of course.
But that's all right.
Of course.
Bottom line is this. You know baseball. You care about baseball far more than I do. And we want to wrap up the season that is now complete. We wanted to have you come in and just maybe hand out some season end awards for the season that just completed. But first, we've got to put you on the spot a little bit, okay?
Here we go.
Jimmy, you're going into journalism.
I do.
Possibly in the sports media world, no less. And I think one of the things you've got to be able to do, got to have some versatility. You've got to be quick on your feet. Right now, we are going to give you a chance to prove you are capable of quick thinking and some quick reactions. Because, Jimmy, Halloween was Saturday night. Not just Halloween. I mean, we had the full moon Halloween. It was fully in effect. Halloween was Saturday night. You aren't that far removed from that whole trick-or-treating thing. Here's the question for you today. We're going to do something a little bit different today. Say some kid shows up right now. He's got a big, huge bag full of the candy that he went trick-or-treating for. You look in the bag. I want you to think about this. What are you taking out and eating first? Now, you are going to have the first pick in the first Daily Dose Halloween candy draft. You can pick any candy out there. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to make the best picks of what is in the Halloween bag. Forget the diets. Forget the nutrition. We don't care about any of that stuff. You can eat whatever you want. We're just going to do a quick draft of the best candy that is handed out for Halloween. Jimmy, you are on the clock. What is your first pick coming out of the bag?
Give me the Twix bar.
Going with the Twix. The Twix comes off the board.
Give me the Twix, for sure.
All right. Twix is solid.
It's got a nice crunch to it.
Yeah. You get the caramel. Yep. You can go different varieties. You can definitely go peanut butter. Sure. You can go caramel. All right. All right. I like the Twix pick. Maybe the pick would have been around still in the later in the first round. You don't know. But you got Twix. You feel like Twix is going to be, I'm not going to say Tom Brady, but late, like a Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Okay.
It's a little bit later.
Yeah.
But Twix is going to perform.
Proven.
Jimmy, I got to take the sure thing. I'm going to go with the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Because, I mean, you go Reese's. For one, you got some variety there. Got a couple different ways you can go as well. Reese's, I know. I'm getting Peyton Manning there. I know Reese's are going to. Yes, Reese's is going to perform.
Okay, but let's be real.
Every time.
Reese's, it's going to melt in your fingers.
That's fine. I can refrigerate it if I need to.
That's a lot of work. And they get old. They get old very fast.
They can get old. All right, you got a draft pick number two. Who are you going?
Give me the Kit Kat bar.
Kit Kat bar is a
break
winner.
Me off a piece of that Kit Kat.
I agree. Here's the question. If you go Kit Kat bar, are you breaking off the individual sticks or are you biting into it like a heathen Philistine?
No, I'm breaking it off. I'm not a psychopath.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that. Solid pick with the Kit Kat. I think you got first round value in your second round pick. I'm going to go with a staple. Again, I'm going to go with just kind of the sure thing. I'm going to go peanut M&Ms here.
Great pick.
Because you can sit there and you can eat the entire bag. Mm. It could be a 5-pound bag. Makes no difference. I'm going to go peanut M&Ms because it doesn't matter. You're going to eat the entire thing. It's going to be good every single time. All right, I'm going to give you one more pick in the Daily Dose Halloween candy draft. What is your final pick?
Final pick. Now, this Halloween candy, when you find it in a Halloween bag, it's generally not the best version of this candy.
Okay.
It's probably a little old, a little sticky, but give me the Sour Patch Kids.
You're going Sour Patch. Sour candy in general. That's a bold move.
Love sour candy.
You're going to gamble and go out on a limb.
Yes.
And go after the sour candy. Okay. Okay. I can appreciate that. I'm not a sour guy per se, but I can understand the sentiment there. I am going to go, got some tough ones. I'm going to go with just a plain Hershey chocolate bar. I'm going to go generic. I'm going to go steady. I'm going to go, I know it's going to get the job done. Chocolate bar, I can't go wrong. Okay, here is the question though. Who's the bust of the draft? Like, what's the candy you don't want to find in that bag? Because I don't want anything homemade.
No.
You never want anything homemade. I don't want, like, I'm not a big, like, sucker kind of guy. I don't really want the sucker so much. I definitely don't want the pencils. I don't want the toothbrush.
The pretzels.
No. Don't want any of those things. Those things get thrown out
for sure.
As soon as they come in. Are you eating the candy corns?
Love candy corn.
Big You're going fan. With candy corn.
Okay. Big fan of candy
okay. corn. I can appreciate that. I am actually a candy corn fan as well. But there are certain candies that you're going to get. You're just like, no, I'm not eating that. And anytime, I'll give you one. Those orange and black little twisty candies, they're like peanut butter flavored. They're hard as a rock, yeah, and they will take your fillings right out of your teeth. Horrible, horrible candy. I don't want to get those, and I definitely don't want to get anything homemade. Jimmy, you did well. You did well, because I didn't give you any prep whatsoever. Going into the Daily Dose Halloween candy draft, you performed well. You came up with some winners, took a reach, took a couple gambles. Mm. But hey, sometimes you got it. You got to spend to make a little bit, and you did a nice job. Let's jump into some baseball, because the season just ended. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the world champions, but we're already starting to see some movement in baseball. Jimmy, we're seeing some guys opt out of contracts. Yeah. We're seeing some teams not pick up options. Is this just because baseball lost a bunch of money?
I don't know. I think you see a lot of transitioning teams. I think maybe the Indians, maybe I overhype them a little bit, but they are probably finally seeing that maybe they're just not there. They don't have it anymore. Because you see them let go of what? They didn't pick up three guys' contracts, three big guys. You see some interesting moves by the Rangers dropping Corey Kluber. Right. I didn't really understand that too much because they were really going in on their whole three-headed monster this year.
Sure.
America's personally following the Rangers a lot. They would talk about, we have Lance Lynn, Minor, and Kluber, and none of that panned out this year.
No.
They ended up trading Minor, which they should have done last year. Lance Lynn is out there. He's still in the Rangers. I don't know why they didn't get rid of him. But yeah, lots of moves going around in the baseball, just mostly just not picking up contracts, which I don't exactly understand too much because a lot of these guys are big name guys. You see a lot of big name guys.
Proven players.
Yeah, for sure.
We also have seen a few managers get hired. The Detroit Tigers hire former Houston Astros manager A.J. Hinch. Jimmy, are we going to see some trash can banging in Detroit? Do you like what the Tigers did there with Hinch?
I hate it.
You don't like it?
Why are we supporting this guy?
He cheated.
He cheated. Why is this guy not blackballed out of the league?
I don't understand.
I don't understand.
And you know what? He's going to go there and he's going to win, isn't he?
He's going to
The Tigers are pretty good. I think he'll be good.
They have Casey Mize. They have a few guys in the farm system that are coming up soon. They definitely have a brighter future. It's going to take some time, but I really just wish he was not in baseball anymore.
Yeah, I don't care for that move either. But the other move that might be the biggest of this past week, 79-year-old Tony La Russa takes the Chicago White Sox job. Jimmy, you like the White Sox going into these playoffs. That's a good nucleus of talent. Why in the world do you go get an 80-year-old manager?
I don't understand. He hasn't managed a team in 9 years. This is a young team in a whole new different era of baseball. We're in a Statcast era of baseball. That was pre-2011. I don't know if he's not going to resonate with the young players much. I don't know how well he's going to have like team chemistry in the locker room. I just don't really get it. There's definitely someone out there in their system or somewhere out like in the league where they can go get someone that hasn't not coached in 9 years.
He's an old, old guy. You hope you like just physically, can you hold up?
I don't know.
Especially in this era, we have entered into this new weird era of, are you going to be healthy?
Yeah.
Because like typically like right now, if a manager gets it, like if you get the virus, who cares? It's not. He's 80.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little more of a concern there. And here's the biggest question I have. Hinch gets a job. La Russa, he's 80. He gets a job. Where's Alex Cora? How's Alex Cora not getting a job? Are the Boston Red Sox just going to bring it? Shouldn't he be getting a job any second now? We know he cheated.
I'm sure he will.
Obviously, it's not an issue.
Yeah, that's a sad part. I'm sure he will at some point.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he has been around a winning team. And I think that's what it is with Hinch, too. Teams are really desperate to see some winning around, especially a team like the Tigers. And they see proven winning regardless if it's trash can or not.
Sure.
And they just jump on it. I don't.
Well, and the hardest thing, especially if you have a franchise that's been struggling, the hardest thing to kind of get out of a team is get them out of their losing cycle and get them out of their losing mentality, because it's not just going out in games. It's every single day preparing like a champion and training like a champion and working like a champion. And I think they're glomming on trying to get these guys and say, can you please bring some of that to us?
Yeah. And another thing about AJ Hinch, he's going to go into that locker room and the players are not going to like him.
I wouldn't think so. Players, you cheated.
Everybody hated the Astros, especially the baseball players.
For sure.
He's going to have to convince a whole locker room, a whole team to get behind him. I don't know if he can do that.
It's going to be really, really interesting to watch. You know, I wanted to have Jimmy in today because we're going to hand out a few awards today. And again, when I say we, I mean mostly Jimmy, because he knows baseball way better than I do. And we are going to hand out Rookie of the Year. Going to hand out Cy Young Award to the best pitcher. We're going to hand out even our MVP. We're going to hand out our Manager of the Year. We've got a number of items to hand out here on the Dose, some awards to give out. Jimmy, let's start with the rookie of the year and let's start over the American League. Who do you have as your American League rookie of the year this year?
I have Seattle's Kyle Lewis. A lot of hype coming into this year. I'm picking Kyle. He slumped a bit in the second half, but still ended up hitting 262, hit 11 home runs, swiped five bags. He definitely gave Seattle something to look forward to.
Sure. Well, and you know, you talked about his slump late in the season. Come on, it's Seattle. We know they're all going to slump late in the season. But I mean, going in early, like through his first 36 games, he's hitting 328. He's got eight home runs. I mean, batting guys in. And do not forget, he did have that catch that robbed the Oakland A's of a grand slam. He can play in the field a little bit. I like the pick. I had Kyle Lewis as well in the American League. Who do you have, though, as your rookie of the year in the National League?
National League, I have Devin Williams, rookie of the year. Devin Williams of the Brewers. This could have gone to a few people.
Yes, it could.
Jay Cronenworth, Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin. Those are some of my guys. All those guys had great years, especially Dustin May comes to mind because what he did in the playoffs.
Sure.
Or what he, you know, didn't do. Devin Williams put up one of the best relief years of all time. 0.33 ERA in 27 innings pitched, 17.7 K per nine. He had 53 strikeouts in those 27 innings he pitched. His 0.63 whip. Yeah, he sits around 97 with a fastball and nasty changeup. Something in the Brewers have a good bullpen.
Yeah, they do. And imagine if you had had that kind of talent when they were playing a little bit better because they didn't do anything this year. But yeah, they've got a nice bullpen there. I went with San Diego Padres. Jake Cronenworth played a huge role in the Padres actually making the postseason. Just for that alone, I gave it to him. The thing I liked about Cronenworth was he played with some versatility. He played first at times, played second, played third, played short, played everywhere in the infield pretty much. So I went with him. But a couple of good rookies coming out. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is some of those managers we just talked about, they're going to inherit some really, really talented rookies. Going to see how that all works out. Let's move over to the manager of the year, though, because we know if you're going to win, you got to have leadership. Mm-hmm. You got to have someone that's actually rallying the troops, especially in baseball where you're playing so many games in such a short time. You got to get guys to go out and play hard and buy in every single night. Who do you have as your American League Manager of the Year?
American League, I have Kevin Cash of the Tampa Bay Rays.
All right.
Now, he did take out Snell in that
yes, he did. Game.
Bad move. But anyone who can do anything with Tampa Bay deserves Manager of the Year award, especially in that division with playing with the Yankees. Just the things he works with, the way he works that payroll.
Yeah.
And the way he works those players, you can get the most out of players that generally nobody knows about. If somebody were to tell me who that Randy guy was at the beginning of the season, nobody's going to know. And he just works the pitching staff very well. He knows how to manage his team, and he managed to have the most wins in the American League.
Well, and let's talk about that game six against the Dodgers, where Kevin Cash pulls Snell out, gives up a base hit. He had given up, what, two hits all night?
You're going to give up hits. And it wasn't a big, it was a single.
Yes.
Was it not? It was a single.
It was a single.
I don't understand that. He's feeling it. Now you just turned off Blake Snell to the entire Tampa Bay Rays. He's not happy. He's not happy.
Well,
I've
and
seen
the thing
rumors,
that...
lots of rumors going around right now of teams being like, hey, this guy is really upset about this. We need to go out and trade for him.
You have to think about it. The thing that's crazy, you basically got the Dodgers to go, okay, we don't have to face him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's never a good sign.
No.
When the opposition is like, oh, good, finally, he's out. You probably didn't make the best move. I know. Here's what I'm starting to think. With all the analytics that you have right now, I'm starting to think that the managers follow the analytics.
Yeah.
Because then they just say, it's not on me. I just did what the book told me to do. And they kind of get out from under taking any blame for it. I don't know that you can follow the analytics on that.
No, you're definitely seeing a lot less of just feeling what guys are doing at the time.
Sure.
Blake Snell was on it. He was on it. Maybe statistically seeing the guys second or third time around isn't the best for him. But that night, there's always outliers.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I didn't like the move either. I wondered why he pulled him out. It just seemed like that was helping the Dodgers too much. All right, let's switch over to the National League. Who did you have as your National League Manager of the Year?
This one was clear for me. Don Mattingly.
Yes, for sure. 100%.
Love that guy. He put that team ahead of schedule.
Well, and let's not forget what happened at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
His whole team gets the virus.
For sure.
And he has to battle through it.
For sure.
And everyone is saying, you need to shut down. You need to just quit. And the Marlins should be booted out and let's be done with this whole... No, he rallies. They make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They make some noise in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. It's a team of like really young guys and a lot of old guys that are kind of past their prime, and he got the best out of both of them. It's a lot. There's like they still have a lot of guys in their farm system. And if he can establish a winning culture, if he can build off of this a little bit, maybe prove that this year wasn't a fluke, he's definitely got some guys looking up to him and ready to go to war for this guy.
Well, and you make a really good point. He got both young and old to rally,
yeah,
to play to their potential. Isn't that coaching in and of itself right there? Get guys to play to their potential. Don Mattingly definitely did that with the Miami Marlins. It's kind of bizarre to say out loud, but he absolutely did. Let's move over to the Cy Young, because we had some really good pitching at times this year. Let's start in the American League. Who is your best pitcher over there?
This one was kind of a no-brainer with Shane Bieber.
Yeah, sure, with the Indians.
I mean, it was a race for second place, really. There's Lucas Giolito, Dallas Keuchel, Gerrit Cole, obviously a lot of other guys. But Shane Bieber had 122 strikeouts and 77 and a third innings. That's insane.
Absolutely for a starter. Crazy. He didn't allow an earned run in half of his starts. Yeah. Not a single earned run. Yeah. That's absolutely crazy. No, he was phenomenal this year. And I mean, you look at Cleveland, and I know a lot of people thought Cleveland might take a step back. I thought Cleveland might take a step back. Bieber is a reason that they didn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When he was playing teams, I look back at his rec on the schedule of the games he played.
Yeah.
When he was playing, teams only scored more than three runs once on him.
That's crazy.
And that other one was four. He scored four
Jeez.
Runs.
Jeez.
He had an 8-1 record, which I try not to look at records too much, especially for Cy Young, because a lot of traditionally Cy Young award winners have really good records.
But sure.
If you're looking at records, what, you got to take into a team, to take the other part of the team to account?
Yeah, you only control a portion of what you can control.
For sure.
And we see that every year with Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, and Jacob DeGrom.
Sure.
Jacob DeGrom.
Oh, DeGrom's a great example.
Well, he was, 1-8
yes.
years back?
And he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You couldn't have thrown it any better than he did. Very good pick on the American League side. Let's move over to the National side. I have a feeling I know where you're going with this one, but let's see if we line up on this one. Who do you have over in the National League?
Trevor Bauer.
Of course.
For me. Again, this one could have gone a few ways. Yu Darvish was
I was going to ask you about Yu Darvish, because I know that you have watched Darvish quite a bit down in Texas. He was really good this year with the Cubs, though.
You know, watching Yu Darvish when I was littler, it was really fun to watch because he was just so dominant.
Yeah.
The way he made baseballs move was just insane. I remember just going to the games and watching him like warm up in the pen, and is just watching getting an overhead view of watching a slider move.
Sure.
Insane.
Yeah. Yeah. To see it in person too.
And I'm glad to see he's back, but I don't think he was as good as Trevor Bauer this year. As much as I'm kind of on the fence with Trevor Bauer, I don't like him too much.
Right.
I think he's kind of a loudmouth on Twitter, but he backed it up this year. Had one.
Oh.
1.73 ERA, 0.79 WHIP, 100 Ks and 73 innings pitched. He had a record of 5-4, but again, record I don't really look too hard into.
Well, and especially with that Cincinnati lineup, because they weren't always generating a ton of scoring.
They struggled a lot scoring this year. He also held opponents to a 0.59 batting average.
Bauer was phenomenal. I had him as well. Wow, we're lining up on a lot of same things here, and I wasn't sure that was going to be the case, but so far so good. We get to our final category. Jimmy, who do you have as your most valuable player in the American League?
Now, there's a few guys that definitely could do it. Mike Trout's always up there.
Of course.
DJ LeMahieu.
At what point do we have to look at Mike Trout and start to wonder why he can't win? I know he doesn't have a ton of help around him.
It's just the Angels.
Yeah.
It's just I mean, he loves the town.
Yes, he
obviously
does.
And that's what's really nice about him. He's not searching for a championship, which...
No, I wouldn't, it doesn't seem
I
like
wouldn't,
he is.
I wouldn't blame him if he did. If
I wouldn't
he
either.
Wanted to go out and just go, because he right now is, if he stays at this and he plays another like 8 years, maybe it's 5 years, he's the greatest baseball player of all time.
He is so, so talented, and he is just stuck with a garbage franchise.
And we're at a point that we can't even appreciate how good he's doing just because he's doing it so often.
Right. Oh, you totally see it in the paper. Oh, yeah, big deal.
For sure.
He
like,
did
oh,
it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great. This year, I'm going to go with Jose Abreu.
With the White Sox, yeah. White Sox. I did, too.
He led the league in RBIs, total bases, led the AL in hits and slugging percentage. He played all 60 games.
Which is huge.
Big role for a veteran player
yep.
on that young team. He's, you know, looking to do more of that. Yeah, that's why I definitely liked Jose Abreu over everyone else. Jose Ramirez made a case for himself at the end of the year.
Sure.
But I don't think... We should be. I try to look at it, you know, for a long over the whole season. Because
right,
I think a lot of people overlook players that were consistent throughout the season instead of someone that was consistent at the end of the year. Because you could say this, like, the whole season flip. You had Charlie Blackmon hitting 500 and, what, 16 games?
Sure.
He would have been
the MVP.
Done. Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest of the season takes place and you didn't come along to the ride. Sorry. Jimmy is a Colorado Rockies fan, if you didn't know. And you can definitely tell the pain and misery in his voice there. Okay, so we both go Jose Abreu with the American League MVP. I have a feeling we might disagree on our National League MVP, though. Who do you have in the NL?
It was between Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts for me. And I definitely went Freddie Freeman.
I went Betts.
I lined him up. I knew this was going to be close, so I lined him up on a website, you know, and I saw that Freddie beat him in runs, hits, doubles, RBI, walks, batting average, and OPS.
Now, Freeman was phenomenal this year.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal. He's really easy to look up to as a player. He's a great guy. Led that Atlanta team. Betts definitely won the championship. So that's you're not going
to
take that away.
And contributed in a huge way to do it.
For sure, for sure.
Well, we can go back and forth on both of those guys. I think bottom line is both those guys are phenomenal players. And I think if you take either one of them off their teams, as good as the Dodgers are, as stacked as the Dodgers are, Dodgers might have struggled without Betts because he came up with clutch plays. You could say the same thing about Freeman with the Braves. The Braves were right there.
Yeah.
They had that series won.
Yep.
And they gave that up.
Dodgers definitely underperformed a little bit in the playoffs.
They did. And then once they kind of got going, I mean, you knew, if they, you called it. You said, if anyone can trip them up, it's going to be Atlanta.
Yeah. Really believe
they
that.
They were that close.
And Atlanta's pitching came through.
Yeah, they
in
did.
The playoffs. They were phenomenal the first few series.
Well, Jimmy knows baseball. Make no mistake about that. Hey, we got more to get to today. Coming back, we still have a few more things we want to talk to with young Jimmy today. Who does he like going into next season? Plus, we are going to do something that we haven't done with very many people. We are going to let him take the controls of the Daily Dose today. We're going to let him prep for his future career in journalism. What in the world is Jimmy going to be bringing to the Dose? We're going to find out when we get back. So let's finish up our Major League Baseball recap with young Jimmy, who is joining us today, and he is looking forward to next year already. You know, the crazy thing to think about is that the season is already going to be starting again in April, which means, like, spring training, that stuff's going to be starting in February. It's going to be coming really, really quick. I know this season ended maybe a tiny bit later than usual, but that next season is going to be coming around really, really fast. Jimmy, looking forward to next year. What teams are you liking? Is there someone out there maybe you don't like with some of the movement that we know is going to be taking place in the offseason? Which teams are you liking going into next season?
In the AL, I definitely have the White Sox.
Yeah.
Big fan of what they're doing. The Yankees. Big fan of what they're doing. I like the Twins.
Minnesota.
Maybe just a few more moves. They have it. They just can't put it together, I think. Maybe the next year they figure it out. And the last team is, unfortunately, the Astros. I think the Astros surprised me a little bit.
That makes my stomach hurt.
They're really good in the playoffs is my problem.
Yeah, they're clutch.
If they can, now they have a few free agents, I think, coming into this year. Mm-hmm. If they can get them back, just Carlos Correa and George Springer in the playoffs are just... I've heard Springer wants out too.
That's going to be interesting. That would be a big hit if they lose him because he is clutch.
And if he wants to come to Denver...
Don't do it.
Maybe...
Don't do it. You're just wasting your time.
Did they want to trade... Did they want to trade Ramel Tapia for George Springer?
I don't think they do. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. What about the Los Angeles Dodgers? Because they've got that stacked roster with so much talent. Can they keep everybody together? Can they keep everybody happy?
And even if they don't keep everyone together, they're still going to be in it. And I think I'm sure they will be able to. I'm sure some pieces will be moving around. But they just have a lot of young guys, and they still manage to get there every year. It doesn't matter.
Nice.
I like Atlanta.
Yeah.
Again, coming out.
Atlanta's going to be very good.
Atlanta's going to be good. And San Diego, I think, they're...
Another year should help, shouldn't it?
Another year will help.
Yeah.
There's definitely a few teams out there that still need a few years to develop. I mean, the Rays, I meant to say in the AL too.
Sure.
Rays will still be up there if they can duplicate what they did this year, which I think they will be able to, because I remember sitting 2 years ago just looking at the Rays, and they're in the playoffs. They're still... competing.
Yeah.
Just this year they put it all together, and I don't think it was necessarily a fluke at all. So I think I expect them to still be back. They're losing Charlie Morton, Mike Zunino. I don't know if that'll be that big of a deal. I think Charlie Morton was great this year, but I think they'll be able to work around the pitching staff enough to replicate what he did.
Are there any teams that you look at going in next year and say they might have some problems? Is there anyone that you could possibly see falling off or taking a step back besides our Colorado Rockies, who we know they just step up every single year. They just keep getting it done year after year after year. But are there any teams that you're looking at and going, they might be heading in the wrong direction?
Wrong direction. Indians, again.
Don't like the way Cleveland's going.
I don't like the way Cleveland's going. They do have a talented young starter in McKenzie, but I'm not sure if they're really doing the right things with letting players opt out or declining offers.
I keep thinking that Cleveland's going to take that big fall. And then like I expected it this last year.
Yeah,
then they stepped up. But yeah, it has to happen at some point, doesn't it?
And at some point, Lindor's going to be gone.
Yes.
I expect to see him in Dodger blue at some point.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm not looking forward to it, but that's what I expect to see. I think the Phillies, I don't know if they're going to go anywhere. They are so confusing of a team. They definitely have the players.
Sure.
But they just, I can't figure them out. Reds, I expect slight moving forward.
Yeah.
I expect some moving forward from the Reds. And if they don't, I would be concerned.
Sure.
Very concerned for what they have going on there. Brewers, I don't see them doing anything.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot then. It's November of 2020. We're looking one full year in advance. If you had to pick right now, who are you saying World Series 2021?
Give me the Atlanta Braves.
Going Braves.
Going Braves.
Braves are going to win it. Who are they going to beat?
They're going to beat Yankees.
They're going to beat the Yankees.
They're going to be the Yankees, whatever.
I'd sign up for that right now.
Oh, for sure.
I'd sign up for that right now.
All right. I like that.
That'd be entertaining. That's pretty solid. All right. Young Jimmy, the last time you stopped by, we changed things up a little here on The Dose. We actually let you ask me some questions. And I heard back from a number of listeners. I think I even texted a few of those to you that liked that segment quite a bit. Makes me a little bit nervous, but I am going to right now let you take the controls of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. I'm going to let you work on your journalism chops just a little bit. What questions are you going to pose to me this time around? I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, Mr. Daily Dose,
yes.
I have three questions for you, two concerning baseball.
Oh,
now,
boy.
There is a lot of slander on baseball here. It's boring. It's slow. Me being a baseball traditionalist, I don't want to see anything touching the game.
Sure.
I like the way the game is. Heck, I would argue to get rid of the DH.
I'd be fine with that.
But
I'm totally fine with that.
How would you fix baseball?
The biggest thing I think I would do as far as fixing baseball, I would just speed it up to what it should be. I don't mind that baseball is not a play after play after. It's not a constant play game like a basketball or, I'm going to say this, take this with a grain of salt, or soccer. It's constant movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously not that in baseball. That's fine. What I can't stand is the 45 seconds between a pitch. That's the only thing I want. Just speed that up to where we're actually watching something happen. Because I do not need to see batter steps into the box, gets all ready, pitch is delivered, ball one, steps out, takes off his glove, takes off his shin guard, takes off his other glove, puts the shin guard back on, puts the glove back on, puts the wristband back on, adjusts his shoulder protector, steps back into the box, and that's strike one. Steps back up. That's the stuff that is killing me. And here's the part that I think is dangerous. We know, based on the numbers and statistics, baseball fans are getting older and older and older, and that young generation, you are a young guy. There's not that many other guys out there like you that love baseball like you do. Just make sure the game is moving. I don't want it to stop. I have no problem that it's a slower game. I'm fine with that. I understand the strategy aspect of it, and I get that. I can appreciate that. Especially, hey, summer day, get the baseball game on. You don't have to be glued to every single second of it. At the same time, keep it moving. Don't have it go so slow. And I personally, I would like to see an across-the-board salary cap. I would like to see every team held to the same standard because we saw it this year.
Yeah.
The Dodgers salary cap and the Rays salary cap, they're not exactly the same.
No, no. And I struggle
a little bit with that.
I have mixed feelings on this.
I do too.
I definitely see where they would be coming from on a salary cap,
yeah.
But also that's just me not wanting to touch the game.
Right.
But that's more of a front office type thing. But there definitely is a way to win without one. Now, naturally, you're not going to be consistent. you're going to have
to. It's going to be really, really hard.
Terrible. The Astros, when they were rebuilding, they fielded a team of what, like $5 million?
Yes.
At some point? It was ridiculous.
And by tanking, they got back up.
They got back up.
So, I mean, you can see there's a method to it.
Yeah.
At the same time, I've never seen the Yankees tank. I've never seen the Dodgers tank.
No.
I've never seen the Cubs tank. Why? Because they have this huge, giant payroll, and we know they can afford it for that reason. Hey, I would love to see the Brewers or the Rockies or some of these teams get out there that they just, they can't do it. There's no way. And I guess it's not that there's no way. There's no way to consistently be there like those big dogs are.
Yeah, and I mean, you see all the teams you just listed off, the Dodgers, Yankees, and Cubs.
Yeah.
What, do you have one championship, two championships between those two teams in the last, what, 10 years?
Right.
Salary cap, big money doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win.
No, no.
But you're going to be
totally agreed. But you're going to be there.
You're going to be
You're going to be in the playoffs.
You're right. And but you see the Rockies, like for example, they're not necessarily short on cash.
They have they're short on brains.
They're short on brains for sure.
They're 1,000% short on mental capacity. If I am the Rockies, go get local guys that know how to pitch at this altitude and understand what it takes. My biggest thing with the Rockies, I don't believe you can win with starters with the Rockies. Not in Colorado.
No.
You have to win with those middle relievers and you have to have a ton of them.
Yeah. And
because there's no way. You wear out too much here.
And this year, they did that with Kyle Freeland. Kyle Freeland bounced back this year. But I think the biggest problem with it is obviously Bridge up in the front office. Because if you look at it from a business point of view, the Rockies, 2019, terrible year, were fourth in attendance in baseball.
People
were still showing up.
So people always show up.
Why, if it isn't broke, I mean, it's broken on the field, but why change anything if they're still going to, why spend money if they're still going to come and watch the
game? Jimmy, that's why I refuse to go. Because I will not coddle them. I refuse to coddle their stupidity.
If Coors Field wasn't such a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place. It really is. It's a gorgeous park. If I were building the Rockies, do you go and say, hey, we're just going to really, really focus on pitching? Or do you just say, no, you know what? We're just going to beat you 21-20 and we're just going to load up with bats and try to go out that way?
Well, they try that, but then you become one-dimensional. And when the bats go cold, like they did this year, and Nolan Arenado's not producing, he's hitting 250 on the year, you're going to have problems. They've got some players that are great at Coors Field this year. They got Matt Kemp.
Yeah.
He produced for half a year, half of a 60-game season.
Half of 30 games.
Yeah.
And what we got.
And he's not necessarily the best shape he's been in.
No.
I mean, circle's a shape, maybe.
Yes, he's round. Sphere.
Yes.
Sphere is a shape.
Sphere. But yeah, but that's my Rockies.
Well, I think you've got to go out and you've got to find people that know how to pitch. And I think you have to find pitching coaches that understand that concept.
It's tough to do that. And you have to grow that talent yourself.
For sure.
Pretty much at this
point. And they have failed to do that.
They have failed to do that.
That's we keep hearing, there's guys in the farm system. Well, we've never seen them.
Well, they're lying. Out of all of the farm system, top 100 prospects in baseball today, there is one Rocky.
Yep.
One, I was just looking at today. There's one Rocky.
That's not changing anytime soon. All right. I managed to get through his Major League Baseball question for me. Jimmy, what else you got for me today?
Well, one other thing is about baseball.
Oh, boy.
Where do you see it in the future? Do you think it's going to still be a major sport? Or you think with the older guys moving on, you know, dying, are the youth going to keep it up there with basketball and football?
I think it's going to be really, really interesting to watch. And I think this season, bizarrely, I think is going to be very, very important to baseball because we just saw the NBA, who was talking about, we're going to overtake the NFL. You better worry about Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Because they barely beat out baseball this year. I think depending on maybe what some of these other leagues do, I really do. I wish Major League Baseball would kind of step it up. Because what I don't want MLB to become, I would say soccer, but soccer over here is such a boxing maybe. Where like you tune in like for one big game a year, two or three big games, but that's it.
I'm thinking
it's such a regional sport though too.
Maybe hockey.
Yeah.
Because hockey's not, it's up there, but it's not as big as some of these other sports. It's got a dedicated fan base. Hockey fans love hockey.
Oh, and they live and die by it.
I think maybe you could see that with baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't see Major League Baseball going away completely.
No, no.
And here's the bizarre thing. Major League Baseball is making money.
Yeah.
They're not making it in NFL
no
realms, but no one is. I completely understand that. But they are making more money than the NBA is right now, mm-hmm. which is bizarre to think about. You would think there's no way that that's possible, but they are. So for that reason, I don't think MLB goes away. I just think it becomes more regional and you cheer for here's the question. And I know you're a baseball guy, but like a Sunday night baseball game and it's Cincinnati versus Miami. Are you tuning in to watch across the nation? No, most people aren't. Well, unless you're Cincinnati or Miami, then you watch it. It's way more regionalized than other sports are.
And that's a lot. There's a lot of factors go into that. So they try to hype up a Sunday night baseball game. A, it's on ESPN?
ESPN.
I hate the ESPN broadcast for baseball. It's terrible.
Sure.
B, it's not any different than any other game. It's a regular season game. Why are you?
Right.
Like for football, you have one game a week.
One game a week.
But baseball, you have what, six, five?
Right. And sometimes you're looking at the second game in a three game series. Yeah. So it just has a completely different feel. Mm-hmm. If you're not watching on some level, if you're not watching every night, it doesn't mean as much to you. So it's a different animal. And I think for that reason, you kind of have to look at it differently. But at the same time, we also know older white guys are who watch baseball. Now, does that change? I think this postseason was actually really, really good for baseball. Mm-hmm. It was entertaining.
Yeah, especially what was it, game four?
Yes. That was highly entertaining.
Insane finish. Yeah. Back and forth all day.
Really, really good finish. And you hope that maybe that gets a couple, young kids or teenagers, maybe they're kind of tuning in and go, oh yeah, I'll watch this a little bit more.
And it's tough because, younger generation, the attention span's almost shorter, you think?
Oh, for sure.
They're not looking. A lot of people these days aren't looking broad picture.
No.
Like older people are more accustomed than sitting back, watching how things play out. Younger guys, you got a phone. Everything, if it doesn't matter a lot, they're not going to watch.
No.
They're not
going to watch. Crack of the bat is the only thing they're going to look for. The only thing that maybe could help, I don't know if it will, maybe the betting thing comes in and sports gambling starts to come in a little bit more in baseball. And I don't know, you're predicting the next pitch or so. I don't know. Maybe that brings in some more audience.
For sure. But what they need to market their players, which I think they're starting to do a little bit better now.
Yeah, I think they do a poor job of that. I want to ask you, I got a question for you. Speaking of marketing players, there's a lot of these unwritten rules in baseball. Mm. And if you throw the bat, if you show any sort of emotion, you're kind of dogged for doing these things. I think baseball's got to get rid of that kind of crap because I think people want to see at least a little bit of individuality out there. Mm-hmm. Seeing the excitement that Mookie Betts brought to the Los Angeles Dodgers, I think a lot of people love that aspect, and there's not enough of it. As much as we love Mike Trout, as phenomenal as he is as boring of a player.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Just no emotion. Yeah. I do think baseball has to embrace a little bit of that, don't they?
They definitely do, and I think they are starting.
I think they're starting to.
There's definitely an excessiveness to it where that's too much, but But that's fun. That's fun to watch. And that's, as a, growing up, play baseball, you want to respect the game or whatever. But
right.
Then again, it's games evolving. You need to learn how to, adapt. It's a fun thing to do. Hitting a ball hard and throwing the bat as far as you can is the funnest thing you can do.
Spiking that bat on the ground.
And it's a small thing, but it's a big deal. It's like when NFL, you have his touchdown celebration.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same deal.
You know what would end, you brought this up. You know what would end a lot of the, so guy goes yard. Throws the bat. Next guy up is paying for it, right?
Yeah.
You talked about getting rid of the DH. For that very reason, they should get rid of the DH. Because you want to plunk me?
Yeah.
Guess what? You're coming to the plate next, buddy.
For sure.
So I think you could eliminate some of that stuff if you did get rid of the DH.
Now, the one thing I would do is just, with the whole bat flip thing, it's too much if you're carrying it to first base, which we saw.
Well, not only is it too much, it's also can be dangerous. So you're looking into a whole different thing there.
That's just disrespectful. But what Juan Soto did. Well, the next inning was great. I have one more question for you.
Oh, goodness. All right. All right.
This one is not related to baseball.
No baseball question.
This is a multiple choice question.
Okay.
What is the most pressuring issue in America today? Is it A, the coronavirus? Is it B, the presidential election? Or is it C, the fact that the NBA finals had the lowest ratings in just ever? Just 5.6 million people watched that final NBA game.
Oh, that's a really good question. Wow. There's a lot to unpack there. Obviously, the coronavirus is at the forefront of everyone's brains. Mm. Obviously, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. And yet, if you look at it statistically, you would be shocked at our reaction to something that's being survived like 99% of the time.
Yeah.
And that's just of cases we know of. Mm. And that's also giving credit, like somebody dies in a car crash And they say, oh, and by the way, also at Corona. So, so those stats are a little bit even flawed, maybe even worse than we thought.
Oh, they're definitely flawed. There's way more cases.
And you've seen it up at Boulder because they're testing water supplies.
They were testing the sewer system.
The sewer system.
This is here.
Way more people have it. Yeah, way more people have it than I think anyone knows. So the coronavirus, I believe, and you can call me a complete loon, I believe we're going to look back, especially at the lockdown, the forced lockdown, and we're going to look back at some point, we're going to say, oh my God, what were we thinking? What were we doing? Because I don't think it's as serious as what we first thought. But when it first came out, everyone freaked out and everyone, you know, I get it. It's affecting sports right now in such a bizarre way. We're you know, Trevor Lawrence now is going to be out another week.
Yep.
Here's a guy that doesn't know he has it. Yep. He has no idea that he has anything. He feels fine. There's no issues. And we're telling him, you've got to be out for 2 weeks because of something you have, but you don't know you have, and you wouldn't ever have known you had if we hadn't done the test. So I think the coronavirus, I think it's going to, on some level, fizzle out. But I also understand in a political year, we're going to have two sides to every single thing. So the presidential election, it's painful. It hurts me. Talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. If we were making a list of the best and brightest minds in America, how low on the list would Donald Trump and Joe Biden be on that list? Like, we would get down like 5,400,368. Oh, we finally got one of them in there.
Five million?
How many?
Maybe.
Like, possibly? Like, they would be down, and they are the two guys.
Yeah.
That's who we have. There are so much smarter people. So many smarter people. I don't want to think about the election. I don't want to think about the president. It's painful. For that reason, Jimmy, I've got to go with C. The NBA completely screwing their season up, getting in bed with politics, just souring the whole thing. I think the NBA, they made a mess of themselves. And I don't think they've done a very good job of, you know, it's interesting. Over the summer, everything's shut down. There's nothing to watch. Everybody tunes in and they watch the Michael Jordan documentary. Everybody is all in on the Michael Jordan documentary. That documentary across the board was getting more views than the NBA finals was.
Yeah.
That's insane. But I think there are so many people that have kind of soured on the game today. Not just because of the politics, because the game is different. You can't touch anybody. Yeah. It's a foul. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of, you know, the flopping and stuff. I think that sits poorly with a lot of people. And I think it's also kind of tough break. You're playing in a season. You're playing in fall and trying to go up against the NFL. But no, the NBA, it took one on the chin this year. And you know, that's just what happens sometimes. The NBA, they better learn they better make some smart moves going forward, or this is going to continue to go downhill. It looks like the NBA is trying to sort things out. They're trying to start up the season even earlier than the players want. Maybe that's a step in the right direction, because they do not want to be playing into the summer next year and try to go against the Olympics.
No.
That will not go well for them if those Olympics do take place. Okay, young Jimmy, last thing before we let you get out of here. Want to thank you for stopping by, but I have one more thing for you. I've got one more question for you before we get out of here. Thank you so much for stopping by and doing our baseball recap with us today. But got something else to talk about, because the University of Colorado Buffaloes are scheduled to host UCLA this coming Saturday at Folsom Field in Boulder, Colorado. I am going to need a prediction for that game before you get out of here today.
Definitely the Buffs. Definitely Buffs are taking a dub here for sure, 100%.
They're going to get the win.
Yeah.
I saw on the ESPN crawl that you've got some sort of quarterback that used to play safety. Used to be a welder. I don't know.
Yeah.
Used to be the nurse at the school. I don't know. Something. You guys have a quarterback, I guess. You got a quarterback.
A quarterback.
I don't know how that was big news, but it was.
Got some returning guys from last year.
Yeah. How did last year go for the Buffs?
Should have been 6-6 is what I'm going to say. We should have taken that game against Air Force. I think we definitely could have won that game.
You could have won that game.
But we didn't. We should have been bowl eligible, but whatever.
You know what? Here's the thing I want you to keep in mind. And this is an important lesson to keep in mind. Because if CU beats Air Force, they're going to a bowl game.
Oh, yeah. It'd have been the toilet paper bowl.
Sure. Here's the thing to keep in mind with journalism. If grandma had two other things, she'd be grandpa.
Well, I could have told you that.
And so when you're thinking of these if scenarios, sometimes you got to think these through.
Yep.
here's the bottom line. The Air Force Academy, bizarrely, is the best football program in the state of Colorado. And it's really not even close. It's I don't understand it. It's a military academy. They're getting little guys that sit in airplanes. And somehow the Air Force Academy has the best college football program in the state of Colorado. Jimmy, I expect while you're up in Boulder that you get this thing turned around and you get the Buffs back on track. Because Air Force is better than CU in all aspects right now, that's embarrassing.
And if they don't, you'll be hearing about it from
me. Well, Jimmy.
But what I say is, go Buffs. It's going to be 75-0. Buffs are going to beat UCLA.
Shoulder to shoulder, they will hide under their beds from Corona. All right. Jimmy, excellent job stopping by the dose again today. You're going to have to come do it again. And you know what? I'm thinking now we have a baseball correspondent here at the Dose. You're gonna have to come in and do, you know, MLB previews this offseason. We got a lot of things for young Jimmy to come in. Keep working hard up at CU and get that Buffs football program turned around already. We need something out of those guys.
Oh, thank you very much. And I'm gonna do my best.
Hey, next week on the Dose, we will be doing our best to keep you up to date with all that is going on in the world of sports right now. And you know, that college football season is moving along. We may need to take a little bit of a closer look with how college football is shaping up this year. Have to say thank you to young Jimmy for stopping by and talking some baseball with us. We enjoyed your visit. And of course, I need to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel and giving us positive ratings wherever it is that you watch or listen. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.
Baseball. It's boring. It's slow.